from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Line drive, base hit center field. One run scores. Myers being held up. Astros take the lead on a Mauricio Dubon base hit to center.
Doobie.
Ground ball. One big hop to Bregman. Takes his time, throws a strike. Astros with an 8-game winning streak. Win 8 in a row on this road trip. Josh Hader, a 2-inning victory in this 2-1 extra inning game where the Astros had a total of 2 hits tonight.
They're just finding ways, man. They're just finding ways. Todd Callis, Jeff Blum on the call. 8 in a row. 8 in a row. 2-1 last night. 10 innings. Over the Tampa Bay Rays, as we welcome you in on a Thursday here on Payne and Pendergast. And Seth, have you heard the good news?
I've heard the good news.
Have you heard? You've heard the good news, but if you're sitting in your car, you, faithful P&P listener, have you heard the good news? Turn it up a little bit, Byron. Turn it up a little bit. There we go. Yeah, yeah. Not that much. Just down a little. There we go. Down a little. Down a little. Down a little.
Sean's 2.5 much in
the- 2.5 game lead. That's the good news. 2.5 game lead in the AL West. They're dominating this division.
The Mariners lost on a walk-off last night.
That's a shame.
Just tragic. Tragic for the Mariners.
I feel bad for them. Yeah.
What are you going to do? Sometimes the Detroit Tigers are going to Detroit Tiger, and that's all you can do about
it. That's it.
They're going to snatch your soul on a mid-August day.
A.J. Hinch is still vying for that statue outside Minute Maid Park. This is what he's doing for us, man.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Thank you, A.J. Hinch.
A.J. Hinch, baby. Yeah.
I always find it hard to get emotionally engaged in Rays games just because it's always just such a revolving door of players that maybe every now and then you see a guy that you hated when he was on the Dodgers or something. But other than that, it's really, I tend to look at that young third baseman they have, Caminero. Like he looks, he's, what's his name?
He's Caminero.
Caminero is the other one. Not worried about it. Yeah. Sebo Deuce. Boy, he's a hell of a fielder. Hey, good for you. But I'll tell you one thing, Sean. When the Tampa Bay Rays decide to go high and inside at Altuve's head in the opening at bat,
yeah,
two nights in a row, they can all go die.
Yeah,
that region of the country can just go ahead and sink into the Gulf.
Yes,
and I hope they all die because hell was that? Blanco came out and in the first at bat versus Yandy Diaz basically said, "You mess with the family, you mess with me."
Yeah,
and went inside on Yandy Diaz.
Yep,
it was odd. It was odd. I don't think it was just any luck or coincidence or whatever that they went right at L2, not just high and inside, but at his head.
Same exact
opening
pitch.
Yeah,
I mean, there,
and it was the second pitch two nights ago. Last night I think it was the first pitch last night.
Yeah.
Was it not?
I don't remember. I just remember glancing over at the TV and going, "Hey, this looks familiar. This happened 24 hours ago. Yeah.
So that was a good one. You get Josh Hader doing what everybody wondered whether he could do or would do. He's done it multiple times this season, going two innings at the end. Caleb Ort, who I thought was going to be basically the next greatest reliever of all time, he got himself bailed out by Taylor Scott in the seventh inning.
He doesn't hide it well either when he's not pitching well. He looked like he was about to cry when the manager came out to get the ball.
His face looks too much like Ryan Presley for me to have ever really trusted him.
Yeah.
So last night we saw the first real glimpse of the human side of Caleb Ort.
Yeah.
Who still, he leaves because Taylor Scott came in and bailed him out. He still got a 1. Whatever ERA.
Yeah.
But it was a little bit dicey there for a bit.
Yep. So, yeah, we're kind of freestyling on this game. The Astros win 2-1 last night in 10 innings.
Sorry.
I think, no, that's okay. I think the biggest story coming out of this game, other than the fact that the Astros now have a multi-game lead for the first time all year, 2.5-game lead, is in an 8-game winning streak. And the White Sox coming to town this weekend. Fingers crossed, Astros, don't play to the level of your opponent this weekend. I got to see who Seattle's playing. They got a chance to really kind of start to dig the dagger into the chest of the Seattle Mariners this weekend if they can continue to take care of business. But to me, the biggest thing, Seth, is Ronel Blanco in this game last night. You know, you and I have talked about Ronel Blanco is the one guy out of all these guys in this rotation, which is still waiting for Verlander to come back. Verlander starts tonight. For Corpus Christi, but Blanco looked like April and May Blanco last night.
He did.
That was good.
Probably could have gone another inning. He only had 80 pitches when they pulled him, but he took, if you didn't see it, don't bother watching it. It took a really scary hit to both hands.
Yeah.
But that looked like it was right at his face. It looked like it caught him in the head at first, and it was kind of scary. And he didn't come back in the next inning. They x-rayed him, and x-rays were negative. He didn't look overly concerned about it. Mm-hmm. It was weird. As he's walking off the mound, you know, he's talking to Yiner, showing him his hands, and then went over to the ump who had to inspect him for the sticky stuff.
Yeah.
And I got nervous that the ump might get too aggressive. Like, use some palm olive on those hands there, man. Go easy on this guy. He might have a broken hand.
That's true. It's kind of nice. It would have been interesting to see, like, if that happened in the third inning or something like that, if he would have stayed in. Like, it was the bottom of the sixth. And it was the last out. Now, he had only thrown like 73 or 75 pitches to that point.
It was less than 80?
Was still, if I'm not mistaken, because I believe Callis and Blum were kind of commenting about that, that he was still at a pitch count that would have been logical for him to come back out for the, let's see, 73 pitches he threw in six innings. So, but like you said, the bullpen, even though Ort got a little traffic-y, this is a bullpen now that you feel like you can hand things over to in the seventh.
Well, we were talking about this yesterday. It was that Blanco hadn't gone more than six innings since July 14th.
Long time, yeah.
And it really looked like fatigue had started to set in. And I think hopefully maybe between just not going as many innings and being able to work in an extra rest day here and there that he's getting back on track.
Yeah.
And with Verlander coming back, they can continue to maybe treat Blanco with kid gloves and be sure that he's strong and steady through the remainder of the season. That was a really good performance out of him last night. Didn't require a lot of luck or anything.
No.
I don't think the advanced stats are any different than what the actual outcome on the field was. So that was good to see.
No walks either. I mean, that's, you know, when Blanco's been off this year, there's been control issues and no walks, four strikeouts, only two hits, just super efficient by Blanco last night. To me, that's the biggest positive. Well, in a game where there weren't any positives offensively other than Peña hitting another home run and Dubon coming up big in the 10th inning, it was a rough night. But they've had so many good nights lately, and they won the game. We'll excuse that. So you got the White Sox coming to town, day off today. But Verlander starting tonight for Corpus Christi. I'm going to have to find a way to consume this Verlander start tonight. And we got a little Tucker news, too. Seth? Tucker did the things that recovering players do that is a harbinger of great things to come.
Oh.
He played catch yesterday.
Yes.
Played catch?
That's a baseball activity. He was, he was fielding fly balls the other day, kind of, but now he's playing catch.
Yeah.
So I I don't know if his arm was a at risk because of something
else. You got to step into it when you're playing catch.
Yeah.
You got to move your legs.
I mean, we saw him catching fly balls, but hadn't really seen him throw, but now he's catching. Is he throwing? Is he throwing the ball back, or is he giving him to a...
Good question. Is he only
giving
catching?
Him to an assistant to throw the ball back? Maybe from too many video games while he's been sitting on his duff. Maybe his hands are messed up or something.
He hit inside yesterday, so he hit inside in the batting cages, and he did, quote, a ton of work in the weight room, according to Joe Espada.
A ton of work in the weight room. Tucker doesn't quite strike me as the guy posting videos on his workout videos on his Instagram or anything.
Baseball JJ Watt.
I don't think he's listening to Fort Minor while he's going for his PR on the snatch.
No.
Yeah, I think he's whatever version of working out hard in the weight room is for him. Then good.
Yeah. So man, times are good.
Pena. What's going on with Pena in the field? he still makes brilliant plays at times, but he just, it seems like once a game now, he's having a weird throw to first. He's at a -2 run value as a fielder this year.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just the selective memory or anything of the bad plays. He just has not been nearly as good a fielder as he has been in the past.
You know what he feels like? Feels like one of those basketball players that you know the game just comes easy to, and yet they lose foot. You know what it feels like? A little like James Harden. Remember when James Harden was in the MVP conversation every year, but every game he would have at least 2 or 3 turnovers where you're like, dude, if you would just stay awake the entire game, then that wouldn't happen. Like, just some silly, stupid things. Like, it feels like Pena just maybe loses focus a little bit. I don't know.
I don't know. That's weird, though, because he's the ultimate hustle guy.
Yeah.
He world-class Tyreek Hills it down to first base every dribbler, line drive, whatever it is. And so that would be a surprise to me if it's that he mentally checks out or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's bad luck. Maybe it's no big deal.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I still trust Jeremy Pena as a middle infielder in the field defensively, but you're right.
I trust him more than I trust DiCenzo defensively.
Okay, two things. Now, they won, and it's an 8-game winning streak, but we got to bring up two things here. One, DiCenzo at first base. You know who I blame for this? Billy Beane. That damn Moneyball movie where they made first base seem like you could pull somebody out of the stands to play that position.
They had what's
Scott Hattieburg.
Scott Hattieburg, old catcher, decided to move to first base.
Yeah, so I blame Billy Beane for that. And then Pedro Leon. Mix in a slide, bro.
A critical situation, he's on second.
He's the ghost runner. He's the ghost runner in the 10th inning on second base.
A deep fly ball to center field. He tags up and then runs to third. And on a very close throw to third, he doesn't slide.
He walks in.
He just casually ambles into third base and almost gets tagged out.
Yeah.
It was so weird. What the hell is he doing? You're not allowed to be Altuvian on the base path.
Well, no, and you're not allowed to laugh about it afterwards.
No, especially because remember his first hit of his career was a base hit to first that he tried to stretch into a double.
Right.
So he got his first hit and his first base running error on the very same play, and he laughed that one off too.
Yep.
I don't, man. You start to see why sometimes. All right, why is this guy, man? He's had some flashes in the minors. Why is he still down there? Why are they not bringing? Oh,
the fly ball a couple games ago. He overruns that.
And I gave him too much. I gave him too much leeway on that one.
Yeah.
It was that one. I mean that. I guess, except he's old enough now that I can't just excuse it as rookie hijinks or what have you. He just misjudged where the right field wall was, even though the right field wall was like it's still 10 or 15 feet away from him.
That's the worst. Like in sports where they go, well, that was a rookie mistake. I'm like, that's stuff you're not supposed to do in Little League. Jog into third? What are you talking about? Rookie mistake. It's base running.
Rookie mistake in baseball is rarely... The problem is these guys are so old by the time they're rookies.
Yeah.
He's 26 years old. Like, no. His brain is fully developed. This is not a rookie mistake.
Basic stuff.
He's been playing professional baseball for a long time.
Long time. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Texans practice yesterday. Man. I know a lot of you are excited for the preseason game this Saturday. Really excited for week 1. And you may have your list of reasons. I have one that just shot to the top yesterday watching practice. I will convey to you guys next my practice report from yesterday's practice. We'll do that coming up.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Coming up next,
gas.
Hey, quick reminder. I say reminder. This is the first I'm saying it on the air, but I just tweeted it out. We are giving away Texans tickets today. Usually it's a Texans ticket Tuesday, which we had. We had one of those. We celebrated our first one of those, the holiday sweeping the nation. A bonus, a Texans ticket Thursday today, Seth, 9 a.m. hour. You and I are giving away a couple tickets to Giants-Texans this weekend.
Ooh, this is, boy. Even for a preseason game in which Daniel Jones is, I believe, going to play. I say that with a little bit of an asterisk because I read that in an article on Athlon Sports where they also described C.J. Stroud as rookie quarterback C.J. Stroud. I'm pretty sure this was written by AI of some sort.
Grain of salt,
It said that Daniel Jones should play.
Okay.
Drew Locke has been banged up, so that's their backup quarterback. We're going to get some hot Tommy DeVito action.
Ooh, I wonder if his agent will be here.
Yeah, I do. Let's get pictures with his agent, Sean.
Find him, yes, yeah. Sean Stilato is his name.
Sean Stilato, who dresses kind of like a gangster.
Yes, he'll be easy to pick out in the crowd. In the middle of August in Houston, he's the one guy dressed in a pinstripe zoot suit. Yeah.
Not a gangsta. No. A gangsta.
Yeah. UH at the end.
A UH, not an A. Right. He dresses like a gangsta.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So practice yesterday, another hot one. Today is indoors. Today is in the stadium, which is the indicator that they are kind of treating this like a game week. Right? It's good
news.
The
unveiling of the non-veiled roof.
Yeah.
You'll get to see what it looks like in there without whatever tarp they have over the hole in the roof.
To Sports Radio 610 and my Twitter feed, I will have updates and pictures of what the roof looks like from inside the stadium. Yes.
I hope it's is there any hope of a cloudy day today? I don't know.
There's not a cloudy day coming until Rapture, I think, man. It's sunny for the next 10 days.
If it's raining somehow, some way, at that point, I need you to stand in the little sliver of rain.
Oh, for sure.
I can set some Eeyore audio to it.
Just
it'll
cringe.
be uh, Everybody knows you're the dark cloud in this station.
Meme me.
Old pessimistic Sean.
Pessimistic Pendergast. Yeah, meme me. Yeah. So here's the big thing from yesterday's practice. Good practice yesterday. Another good day for the offense. I know that I've been prone to hyperbole the last 24 hours because I was describing that throw that CJ had to Tank Dell yesterday as the greatest throw in the history of training camp.
Yeah.
And I stand by that. And nobody who was there has really come after me for that hyperbole, so I think they agree, or at least agree enough to not like be a well actually. I'm telling you,
surprised we didn't do a power ranking on it yesterday. Sean.
Oh, it's coming. Don't
I thought
worry.
For sure you had three segments of, is this the greatest practice
Pender
throw
ranking,
of all time?
Yeah, if there were YouTube clips of training camp throws, there'd be one, trust me. Stephon Diggs had one of the best training camp days I've ever seen yesterday. And I think people that were there yesterday would agree with me. He was destroying yesterday, and it was highlighted by anywhere from 60 to 70-yard bomb, depending on how prone you are to hyperbole.
Yeah.
I skew towards the 70 end myself. Yes.
Jonathan Alexander said 60.
Yes.
DJ Bieniemy said 65.
Right.
And Sean said, nah.
Yeah.
70.
And if you were to meet the three of us, that would match the smell test on those on those yardage estimates. I love those guys. But, dude, I mean, CJ just dropping back, having a little protection, and just dropping that thing in the bucket to Diggs. And it was in the air for good 60, 65 yards, and there were three defenders running behind him. I turned to Cody Stutes because it's hard sometimes, Seth, as you know, to see who exactly is covering on the play when we're at ground level and there's players kind of standing on the bench or kind of standing in between us. We knew it was
selfishly.
Diggs. Yeah. Move! Down in front!
Quit standing there.
I turned to Cody Stutes. And I said, who did he beat on that play? And Cody goes, everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah. I mean, he had three guys trailing him on that play.
This is my prediction for the preseason. I don't think Stephon Diggs gets a single target in preseason games.
Good.
I think, well, you know, they went out in that one drive that CJ played. It looked like they were trying to force the ball to Dalton Schultz. You know, when CJ threw that to Dalton, I'm like, man, Dalton's matched up on a safety here on a go down the sideline. Is that really, you know, and then they tried the boot either before or after that. And that could have been that was a good job by the defense. Well, either a poor job or, you know, bad, just the wrong matchup of play call. Dalton Schultz didn't get a great piece of the defensive end before he took off on the route.
Yeah.
But that's where I first thought, you know what, I bet they want to keep anything and everything they're doing with Stephon Diggs as quiet as possible until game one versus the Colts
Maybe.
In the regular season.
There'll
be all kinds of articles written about, is Stephon Diggs getting upset? Is Stephon Diggs angry that they're not targeting him?
Oh,
it'll be a beautiful ambush, it will.
Yeah. Well, and Diggs will be talking to CJ on the sidelines, and they'll zoom in on that.
Yeah.
And Buffalo and Minnesota people will take that little 10-second clip and go, sir, see what you got, Texan fans?
Stephon Diggs should stage discontent.
Yeah,
he should
start
loading up on the cryptic tweets, stuff about being ignored or lonely or something like that.
Yes.
Maybe a little like a wistic memory of Josh Allen or something. And then, bam, week one, 17 catches for 297 yards versus the Colts.
Seth. That's what yesterday felt like. It felt like 17 catches for 286 yards. Like he was getting targeted a lot. He was catching it at all levels of the defense. The little taking candy from a baby plays, you know, that was Stephon Diggs just lines up wide right, does a little, or in the slot, does a little out route, and CJ's like, oh, thank you for those 12 yards. I'll take those gladly. And even in one-on-ones, all the one-on-ones they did yesterday between receivers and defensive backs, it was all red zone work. Like deep in the red zone, like inside the 10-yard line. Diggs against Kamari Lassiter, like one of their starters. He slants, outs, touchdown. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's funny and it's ironic, I think, that a lot of the hand-wringing that went on in the offseason with the signing of Stephon Diggs is, oh man, what's it going to be like when he's got to share the ball because he's got all these other targets? I honestly think that even a diva, like a genuine diva wide receiver, when you get plunked into a situation like this, it's just got to be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, on that Tank Dell play, that Tank Dell touchdown, you look around the field and CJ's got three different options on that play. And I think that getting plunked down into almost like passing game nirvana where there's just so many options everywhere. It's like a dream sequence in a movie. You know, like in American Psycho, when he's shooting his gun and he's realizing that he's hitting every single thing he aims at, mm-hmm. and he stares at the gun like, what the hell is this? CJ Stroud is Christian Bale. Yeah. I need somebody who's good with the AI to do that scene, but with CJ Stroud hitting receivers with footballs.
Well, that's what's so crazy. Right, yeah, like get that app that you can use where you just get somebody's head and it follows the guy around. Yes.
Because there's so many options.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Well, and the wild thing about this is a lot of times when you see these teams that are loading up on receiver these days, like the Dolphins did it because they needed to elevate Tua. The Eagles did it because they needed to elevate Jalen Hurts when they made the AJ Brown trade. Like, we gotta go get this guy help. CJ doesn't need the help. Like, CJ is a guy, like, CJ, the fact that it's CJ Stroud, supreme 22-year-old decision maker and processor running this offense is almost unfair. Like, they didn't go get Stephon Diggs because they've got some young quarterback, like, okay, let's get this guy help so we can really find out what we have. CJ was doing just fine with Nico Collins and Tank Dell as his two wide receivers.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and with the other big report that you and others have gotten me most excited about is how Joe Mixon has looked.
Yes.
That he's just, okay, yeah, he's at a different level. He's a different caliber of running back than the other guys on the roster right now. So this offense that maybe we'll see for a couple of series with a fully healthy offensive line and with Joe Mixon, I just really hope to see we see some good pop out of the run game. Because down in the red zone especially, we talk about, you know, like, oh, wow, CJ's got all these options. He's doing all this stuff. It was a lot harder for him in the red zone last year without the threat of the run. So if they can have the threat of the run in the red zone, that's where things get really kind of crazy.
Yeah, I liked your answer. When I asked you that yesterday, that was a really good answer. When I asked Seth yesterday, like, okay, if you could sign up for it now, like, what's the minimum that you would sign up for right now as far as where the Texans rank in rushing in the league? You know, like, top half, top third, whatever it is. I like where your head was at on that one. Like, no, they need to be able to run the ball in the red zone, because that was an issue all around last year. Like, they were a really good offense. They were a okay offense in the red zone. They weren't a great red zone offense. So
it's an important part of the field.
That's what I'm told, yes.
The part where the end zone is.
Yeah.
People love that part. The Texans last year were fourth lowest yards per carry in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really bad.
It was bad.
So it's just, as much as you want to talk about how much it's about the passing game these days and everything, not for good football teams.
No.
Good football teams tend to almost just by virtue of, if you have a credible rushing attack, or if you have a really good passing attack, almost by default, you're going to be able to have good yards per carry because there's easier opportunities for the run.
Yep.
So while still having a really good passing attack, they couldn't run the ball. It was really bad.
Yeah, a couple other things, just kind of doing the old emptying my notebook thing here. John Metchie made a few plays yesterday.
Apologies. I'm completely wrong on that, by the way. Anyway, never mind. Go for it.
Were they better than that in yards per
carry? Stats are all messed up. I did the mistake I always do where I look up stats
during the show.
Okay, yeah, they were fourth lowest.
Okay,
I double-checked
it. John Metchie made a few plays yesterday, so maybe there you go, Seth. Made a few plays yesterday, so maybe he's ready to show something here. John, it's been a rough couple weeks for John Metchie. That was good to see. Still in a dogfight with the other 4 to 5 guys in that room, not named Diggs, Dell, or Nico Collins. They were kind of load managing the first string offensive line, as you mentioned, Seth. All the first stringers are healthy, but the older and or banged up guys, Laremy, Titus, Shaq, they play half the reps with the ones. Like, CJ plays behind two versions of an offensive line during the 11-on-11 drills. So I tried to do a 53. I did do a 53 yesterday for the Houston Press. There are a couple positions where I think they're going to be their depth exists on other teams right now, and I think offensive line might be one of them.
Yeah, it's a finicky one right there, and especially when you're looking at guys playing out of position in the guys who are the backups are also playing out of position.
Yeah,
you got Broker playing right tackle, where I think that he feels way more like a guard to me.
Right.
I don't think you don't want him to necessarily be your backup if Fisher's not ready or what have you.
Yep.
Maybe there's a George Fant type guy out there now, or that's available for trade or at cuts.
Yep.
And then interior offensive line, you know, Patterson is your swing interior guy. He made some mistakes playing right guard. Which somebody who goes by JPAT on YouTube pointed out to me, hey, he's never played right guard in high school, college, or the NFL.
Yeah, it was JPAT 99, right?
Yeah. So whoever that person is, they're like, and they said, I should know that. Listen, I don't give a damn what he did in high school.
Yeah.
Look, if you're going to be the swing interior offensive lineman, you got to be able to do all three of those spots. So like, you don't get excused. The coaches aren't in the meeting room going, wow, you are the only guy here who's not blocking the actual football play, but you never played right guard before, so we'll just go ahead and throw you out there versus the Colts.
Okay, yeah, so when you said if you're going to be ... I thought you were going to say if you're going to be an anonymous supporter of a family member, try not to use the first syllable of your last name as part of your YouTube ID. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
It might be just coincidence that JPAT99 is
maybe
Jarrett Patterson.
Maybe.
I don't know.
It'd be great if it was actually him. Hey, man.
I don't think I would feel like, no, because Jarrett Patterson himself would never say that.
No, I know.
Jarrett Patterson would say, yeah, I was bad on that play. He was bad on the play, you know? Like, that's some family member embarrassing his family member there.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, real quick, Kalen Bullock out there with the ones in dime yesterday. So that was kind of fun to see.
Yeah, so and that's where I think this team this year might end up playing a lot more dime when you've got six defensive backs out on the field just because of what they're doing with Jalen Petrie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get overly technical here, but just Jalen Petrie, when they're out there in their nickel package where they got five defensive backs, he's basically a linebacker in a lot of regards.
Yep.
And when they need more coverage guys on the field, then they'll bring in an actual cornerback and have that guy cover the slot or what have you. So there's going to be a lot of mixing and matching between Kalen Bullock, Jimmy Ward, Jalen Petrie. You know, Jalen Petrie did play safety in the preseason game. He played nickelbacker. So I think the versatility of Petrie is going to go a long way in how many different looks they can give you.
It's a big key, no doubt. All right, let's get to headlines coming up next. Big win for the Astros. They continue to just tear it up. They're off today. I've got more from Texans practice and some news in the NFL, including something that drastically affects, I would say, the early part of the season for the Houston Texans, and a trade yesterday that the Texans may or may not have been involved in. We'll get to that in headlines as well. That's coming up next. But
line drive, base hit center field. One run scores. Myers being held up. Astros take the lead on a Mauricio Dubon base hit to center. Doobie.
That was good. I like that, Blum. Good job. Todd Callis, Jeff Blum on the call. Mauricio Dubon coming up big, man. It's been that top part of the order that's really been carrying the team of late with Altuve and Bregman and Jordan, co-players of the week last week, Yiner Diaz. Cool to see Mauricio Dubon, supreme role player, come through. And he's been struggling of late, but had a really good at-bat in the 10th inning, drives home that winning run. The Astros win 2-1. In 10 innings after the game, Mauricio Dubon actually gave Jake Myers a little bit of the credit on that base hit.
You know, Jake helped me a lot. I mean, Jake helped me take a lot of pitches. You know, was able to stand behind and see how the pitches move and everything. And I think a big part of that hit is Jake. You know, he helped me out a lot on that at bat.
Yeah, Jake, for those who didn't see the game or haven't looked at the box score, Jake Myers was up right before Dubon and walked on four pitches. So so Mauricio Dubon, they talk about that a lot.
And that pitcher does not walk a lot of batters either.
Yeah.
So it was really good. Really good by Myers.
Good at bat by Myers there. So Dubon giving Myers a little bit of love right there. Joe Espada, it's a great road trip, man. The Astros have won 8 in a row, 8-1 on the road trip. And Joe Espada, Astros manager, said, "We took care of business."
Start with a heck of a road trip. You know, we took care of business. We beat some really good teams on the road, and we played really well, really well. Close game. Another one-run ball game. Well pitched. Make plays when we needed to. Some big hits when we had to. Huge win.
Yeah, so sweep of the Rays. You get a day off. And, man, you've got a massive opportunity here with the woeful White Sox, who are in line to have the worst record in the history of baseball coming to town.
Yeah, and the Mariners have one more game against the Tigers. For those of you who missed it, the Tigers beat the Mariners in walk-off fashion yesterday. And then the Mariners take on the Pirates for three games.
Okay.
So good chance, a competitive Pirates team
yep.
that we just saw. We know that.
And the Dodgers after that.
Oh.
So our best friends might be the Dodgers in a few
three
days.
Three games here. Against the Pirates, three games against the Dodgers, yeah. And then they go see the Giants.
Yep.
So they're going to very, if the Astros can extend this stretch and get some cushion, as Justin Verlander pitches at Corpus Christi tonight, or Sugarland tonight.
No, Corpus. It's Corpus.
Oh, Corpus. That's right. Corpus.
Yep, it's
yep.
Corpus.
Tonight. Then things are feeling good. I'm feeling good, Sean.
Yep. As you should. As you should. So 2.5 game lead right now in the AL West. Texans are back at practice today. It's inside the stadium. So this is, they've been kind of simulating. It feels like what a game week during the regular season looks like. I think that's why they've moved the practices to the middle of the day as opposed to the 9 a.m. start that's been the norm throughout training camp. Normally on a game week, they will do their last practice inside the stadium, and it's not super intense, probably a lot of walkthrough kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's like jog through speed.
Yeah.
Jog through to three-quarter speed.
Yeah.
Got to be very careful. Jimmy Ward has to just, you know,
chill.
Take a break from hitting people in the midsection.
Right.
And contested balls, please.
Right. Yeah. Probably not anything nearly as sexy as the day Stephon Diggs had yesterday, where he was amazing. Stephon Diggs was, I mean, from the beginning of the practice, from one-on-ones through every session of 11-on-11, Diggs was out there doing stuff. Here's Bobby Slowick, Texans offensive coordinator, who met with the media after practice on the Stroud and Diggs combo.
Yeah, I mean, it's been growing since Steph got here. You know, the amount of time those two have put in together with no one else around, no one watching, no video cameras, filming for coaches, you know, you guys not here. Like, they're making sure they're putting the work in. And, you know, we've known that, and we see it a lot of times before it comes to fruition in practice and in team periods. You can see it in routes on air. You can see how they talk, how they converse in between plays. Like, it's been coming. So it was fun to see today that they connected as many times as they did.
Yeah. We've seen it on Instagram, Bobby. We know they've been working for a long time, but just, yeah, that work continues away from actual practice and everything. It's good. It's not a surprise at all. And that's why, I mean, to people outside of Houston, the sight of Stephon Diggs working animatedly with CJ Stroud on the sideline, a lot of people want to interpret that in a negative light. And it's exactly the same way it looks at practice. Where, like, Stephon Diggs is very animated in showing. I noticed the first day he was working with Tank Dell, he goes through, you know, he's teaching and showing exactly what the body positioning is and everything like that. It's cool to see. It always just reminds me of watching Tom Brady work with wide receivers. It was every little detail about route running and just exactly how the quarterback is interpreting the body positioning of a wide receiver versus a defensive back with a specific leverage, like all those fine-tuned details that CJ is all about. And that's where the relationship comes in, like being able to know without thinking about it when to pull the trigger with each specific guy.
Yeah.
It's almost like you got to have your own individualized handshake with them as route runners, the same way you do after the catch.
That's right. That's right. And as far as Diggs and being animated, I think that's just how he communicates. Like, I think there's a lot of people that look at Diggs and they think about themselves and they go, boy, and they're maybe even doing it unintentionally, but boy, if that's how he's communicating right now, he must be really angry. Because that's what I do when I'm really angry. I gesticulate and I move my arms and I think that's just how Stephon Diggs, I think that's just how he is. Now, at times in his career, he's been angry acting that way, but I don't think it's the case with CJ right now.
It reminds me of the culture clash sometimes that there was, as a lot of the kids will know exactly what I'm talking about here. Season one of The Real World back in 1990 when Beth and Kevin used to go at it. And there were some things about the way Kevin communicated that Beth, the girl fresh off the farm.
Yeah.
I think it was Beth. I can't remember. The brunette that was like the sweet and innocent girl from Indiana or whatever. She was kind of, it was a whole new world for her. She didn't understand it.
Right.
So I think sometimes when people watch Stephon Diggs communicate, it's just like their Beth or whoever that girl was just doesn't quite understand maybe the different way different people will communicate.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. All you kids out there
kids
who
know
watch
what I'm talking
season
about.
One, all you kids in your early 50s. all right, a few quick NFL bullet points here. J.J. McCarthy, rookie quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, out for the season. We talked about this yesterday, meniscus issue, and they got in. They did surgery on it yesterday. They said they wouldn't know whether it was just a cleanup or a full-on repair. The full-on repair would be knocking him out for the season, and that's what it ended up being. So he'll be out for the year. It will definitely be Sam Darnold in week three against the Texans when the Vikings host the Texans in Minnesota. So there's that. Matthew Judon got traded. Matthew Judon, edge rusher for the New England Patriots who wanted a new contract, got traded to the Atlanta Falcons yesterday for a third-round pick. I want to save that one for the next segment because the Texans may have been involved in that. I want to discuss. It deserves a longer discussion than just a bullet point. But just from a news item, know that Atlanta traded for an edge rusher. They haven't had a double-digit sack guy since Vic Beasley in 2016. So they've been desperate for a guy who can get double-digit sacks in Atlanta. And the Bills yesterday were trying out Corey Davis. You guys remember Corey Davis, former Titans wide receiver, top five pick out of Western Michigan? This is what happens when you trade Stephon Diggs. You got to bring in Corey Davis for a tryout, man, to try to find a solution at the wide receiver position. So those are your news items. Still nothing new on CeeDee Lamb, although the Cowboys are working towards a deal. And nothing new on Brandon Ayuk, although that there seems to be a lot of smoke coming out of San Francisco that something could be happening pretty soon there. All right, I mentioned the Matthew Judon trade. Reportedly the Texans were interested, or they were at least inquiring about Matthew Judon. We'll try to make sense of that. Would you have done a third-round pick? That's what it ended up being for Matthew Judon, if you're the Texans fans, if you're a Texan fan. And we've got our results for the AFC South hatred poll that I posted yesterday. So we've got that for you coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!